All right, so this is the second part of my lesson on the benefactor. I thought I was going to get that covered in one lesson, but you know how it is with me. This is Jesus now, the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. We're still talking about all the things that he is still actively doing. Yeah, I know he's seated in heaven, and I know he's there in the presence of God and all the glory and all those things, as Pastor Jeff has been talking about, but he's also very busy working in and through his body. And we are also glad for that, because through his continuing work, we have one who listens to our prayers. We have one who knows us more intimately than we even know ourselves. He is making provision in every dimension for our life. But he's also working through us to those around. Last week, we talked about him manifesting his person through us as our divine benefactor. And so let's go back to the two opening verses that I'm using for this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7, Paul writes, "But grace was given by Christ. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." And again, that word measure we talked about last week, that's the measure he's delivered to you. That's what he is working through your life. And each one of us is different. But also, even in that period, as we're going to talk about today, he gives us even more. He gives us gifts to minister to other people. And so we call them the gifts of the Spirit. They're also called the manifestations of the Spirit, are given to work through us. And they're not there all the time, but they're there when he wants them to be. And they're there according to the flow of Christ's purpose and the need of those who are around us. The difficulty with that is we need to be listening. We need to be ready to respond as God gives us things for other people. Those gifts are not for me. You know, you don't receive a gift of healing for yourself. You don't receive a gift of miracles for yourself. You receive it for others. Even the gift of faith, this is not the gift of faith for you to believe in Jesus Christ. This is a gift of faith that you can minister to others so that they can have faith. It's like a supernatural work of God that calls them and gives them the grace from God so that they can have faith. And so each one of these, we call them gifts. We call them charismata, if we want to use the, you know, more Latin-y Greek term, but really they are graces. They're graces. Grace provisions, gifts. And so these are demonstrations of God's grace, and he works those through us. We talked last week about his person, how we are his body in the earth, and how he wants us to be a manifestation of his presence to those who are around. They don't see God, but they see him through us. And so we need to be that. But how can we be that except he provided? And so we are his body in the earth. And so they can't see his body, but they can see the body, right? And that's what the world needs to see. So Ephesians 4, grace was given to each one of us. And as I said, the Greek word there means each and every. It's a specific way of phrasing that word. Each and every one of us. So it's not like, well, we all have it. No, each and every one of us has received a measure of Christ's gift, or the gift of Christ. Acts 10:38, one of the key verses that I have used in ministry. Acts chapter 10, you've heard this over and over, but I want to emphasize one small part of this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. So God anointed him, and he went about, what? Doing good. And the Greek word used there means as a benefactor. He went about as a benefactor, one who works on behalf of other people with what he has received. So this is someone who has worked to have a great amount of money, and he distributes it to others. Lord, bring that person into my home. Look, Jesus is that person, but he's the one who is a benefactor. And that's what he did when he was in the earth. But Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will be doing what? The works that I have done. And greater works. Because the Spirit's going to live in us and there's more of us. And so the greater works is because we're going to be able to do more because he was located in one body, one geographic position on the earth in the 3.5 years that he ministered. But we're everywhere. Jesus said, you know, he sent out his disciples unto the ends of the earth. Now, at that time, they had no idea where the ends of the earth were. They thought the world ended at the Mediterranean Sea. And so the sea flowed out somewhere. And after that is like, oh, I don't know where it goes. I think it falls off. And you fall off into nowhere. But that's not true. Because there's islands all the way on the other side of the earth. There are still places that have not been reached. I know, that's almost impossible for us to think. But there are still people who have not had the gospel delivered to them. And we say, well, it's going to be everywhere because it's on internet and anybody can get it. No, they can't. Those people don't have electricity. They don't have iPhones. You know, they don't have ways to connect. They're waiting for the gospel to be presented. Some of them have been locked under government rule that doesn't allow the gospel to come to them. So, we are benefactors in the earth. We're his body. But today I want to talk about another dimension of that. That is manifesting his power. Not just manifesting his presence. Not being who he was in the earth, but allowing that power. Look at the rest of this verse. He went about with the Holy Spirit and with power, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Is God with you?
Yes.
And so, just as Jesus had God with him, I know he was God, but that's not the issue. Because the issue is so that we can see that's what he did. And so that's what we can do. I can't do things because I'm God, because I'm not. But I can be a person anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Please put the preposition in front of both those words. With the Holy Spirit and with power. The Holy Spirit brings power, but he wants to emphasize here as Peter received this from God. He wants to emphasize the fact that it's not just the Holy Spirit. Well, I got the Holy Spirit because I got born again. No, you've also got power. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I just told you. I just made you read it. Well, yeah, but, you know, God puts sickness on people and God does all these. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. If it was, why did Jesus go and reverse what God the Father was doing? He said, I only do the things that he's given me to do. So if God was supposed to be, quote, making people sick, then why would Jesus go around changing it? I'm undoing the things my Father has done to you. I'm afraid lightning will come through this building right now, but it didn't. That's the grace of God. Again, so the word benefactor, euergeteo. The U, take the EU off, which means good or for the good. And ergeteo means to work, to do works for others. And that's what the Greek word means, to work so that you have something to give to others. That's a benefactor. A benefactor doesn't just gather it all unto himself. He gathers it so that he can pass it on. As I said last week, my spiritual father, he said, God will get it to you if he can get it through you. And so if God will provide what we need, if we are not the end consumer of everything that God gives us. I'm not supposed to be the end consumer of all that God has given me. He's given me gifts and powers, not for me, but to distribute. He brings finances into our life, what, just for us? Just so we can build up a big bank account and we have all these things, you know, and buy an airplane if we want to. Sorry, did I say that? I don't think I said that. But anyway, he gives us all these things not to consume on ourselves, but to pass them through and to allow his prosperity to flow through us, to allow his healing power to flow through us. I may be carrying weakness. I'm still got weakness in my arm. That doesn't mean I can't pray for other people. This morning I prayed for a person who's got weakness in his arm. I said, "Well, you're not healed. You can't pray for him." Yes, I can, because it's not me. It's God. And so it's his power flowing through us, and that's what we're talking about. Luke 24:49. I'm down about the middle of the page. Luke 24:49. Jesus said this to his disciples before he ascended. This occurs like just before Acts chapter 1. So if you put it in a timeline, Jesus was in the upper room. He said these things, and then they went out in Acts chapter 1. And then Jesus gets caught up. But listen to what he said first. "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." When was he going to do that? At Pentecost, when he ascended. "I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." He's already talked about what that promise is. "Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." We're to be a source of water to others. Thank God I have partaken of the living water myself. Amen. And I am alive forever. And I don't ever even need to take another drink, because I have been filled to full. But not only am I to be filled to full, I'm not just to be a well, I'm also to be a river, a spring. And flowing out from me, each one of us is called to be a spring. And then John goes on, this is John 7:56. And then John goes on and says, he was not speaking about this temple. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit, which had not yet been given, for he had not yet been glorified. He had not been raised from the dead. So Jesus was making a prophecy about something that was going to happen to those who believed in him. You all believe? Are we all believers? Then this power is supposed to flow through us. So he said, "I'm going to send you the promise of my Father, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Now, I know he was talking to them about staying in the upper room. Some of them did, some didn't. But he talked to them about staying in the upper room until they were clothed with power. How can we relate this to us? I don't have a lot of power to minister to people until I've received the power that comes from the Spirit of God. I'm born again, and the Spirit of God lives in me, but is he flowing through me? And so I can't truly be effective in ministry until I've allowed his power to be in me. That's why he said in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power. Let me finish Luke 24:49. "Until you are clothed with power," the Greek word dunamis, "from on high." This power is going to come from God. It's not from you. It's from God. A power, an inner ability, a supernatural ability. This Greek word can be translated miracles, all right, when it's in plural. "Until you are clothed with miraculous power." Did you ever think about it that way? Miraculous power dwells in us. Then he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power." Take out the word "after," because it's not in the Greek language. Or take out the word "when," because it's not in the Greek language. Whatever you translation have. "You will receive power." This is what it says. "You receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you." Not when he comes, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. In other words, it's part of his coming upon you. "You receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you." So in a sense, the Holy Spirit coming is the same as what? Receiving power. Receiving him is receiving power. The Holy Spirit coming on you. You'll have power. Dunamis, the same, and again, Greek word. And it means, again, miraculous power. You receive this. The Holy Spirit come on you, and you will be my witnesses. The Greek word witness, a testifier. The Greek word witness is also the word translated to testify. And it's the idea of someone who is, yeah, a martyr. It's the Greek word, martyrion. We think martyr means to die. It doesn't. It just means you'll speak up even under the threat of death. That's what the word martyr means. I am so much going to say it that even if you threaten me with death, I'm still going to say it. Doesn't that describe the New Testament apostles? That's the way New Testament believers should be. How many of you are New Testament believers? Then we should be willing to speak up for him, even at the point of death or insult or condemnation or judgment or ridicule. All those things that come against us that make us want to not speak up. No, I'm going to speak up even if that's what you're going to do. If you're going to tell me I'm crazy, good. Like I told the Chinese officials when they were holding me, they said, you're too stupid to understand our rules. I said, all right, I'm too stupid to understand your rules. And they let me go. Because I was too stupid. All right, I'll play stupid if that's what you want me to do. I kind of laughed under myself. I didn't laugh at them. I just didn't. No laughing. When I've got these officials sitting across the desk. But, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same, what? Spirit. So no matter what the gift, again, the charisma, the gracing, that's what the word means, the gracing, no matter what the gracing, it comes from the Spirit. So this is the gifting of the Spirit. Pneuma, right? The word Spirit. So this is Holy Spirit gifting or gracing. Of the same Spirit, there are varieties of service and there are varieties of activities. Again, I kind of circle that word varieties because it's that Greek word which means multicolored. Multicolored. And it's like there's no two colors that are exactly the same. There's no two colors that actually exactly match. When I was a kid, I wanted the 72 box of crayons. I only got the 12. It's like, well, make your own colors. Well, you kind of can, but I still wanted the 72. But several years ago, somebody brought me a box of 72 crayons. Varieties, multicolors. So each one of us has a different shade, different dimension, different coloring of the Spirit of God, of what he wants to do through us. There are varieties of service. The gifts come, the service, the Greek word is ministry. Serving, the Greek word diakonos, to minister for others' good. So this is where we come from the Lord. We are to minister for another's good. And how is that? Each one of us in a different dimension, in a different shade, in a different way. We can maybe ministering, quote, the same work, but it's going to be different through me than it is through you because I have a different shade. It's a different coloring. I've got a different history. I've got a different understanding. I've got a different knowledge. I've got a different way of speaking. I got a different motivation in my life. So there's a difference between me and someone else. And there will not be two the same, as I said before, because God's already got one of those. So he's not going to make you what they are. You got to be different. You got to be willing to be the different one. So varieties of service, but the same Lord. So this is Jesus ministering through us, serving through us. And then there are varieties of activities. The idea here is different powers, different workings, but it's the same God. In a sense, we could say the Father. So here's a verse in which we got the Trinity. People say, oh, there's no such thing as the Trinity. You can't find it in the Bible. Well, it's right here. Spirit, Son, Father. You can find it at Jesus' baptism. Spirit, Son, Father. And what does it say? Who empowers them all? He's the power behind it, but I'm the deliverer of it. I am the one through whom it's going to flow. And if I'm not willing to take it to be a witness, then it's not going to flow to other people's lives. Someone else may go, but I will not receive the reward. I know some people say, well, if you don't do it, no one will, and that person will never receive. No, that's not true. God will send someone else. I'm supposed to do it, and because I didn't, I will receive no reward. But God will get it to that person another way. And so there is another way that it goes. A lot of people say, well, I'd love to see someone, you know, born again, or I'd love to minister to someone and see them filled with the Spirit. Well, then do it. Say, well, no, I take them to, you know, I take them to the minister, I take them to the church, I take them to someone who operates in that. They operate in because they're using what God's given them. So use what God gave you. You can lead people to Christ. You know that, right? You can lead people to be filled with the Spirit. I don't know how to do that. Well, how did you get it? Just flow with that. Or maybe, like Jerry said, maybe you haven't received that. Well, then receive it. And then you can minister it. Jeff, you're messing in our stuff. Verse 7. To who? To each. Again, the Greek word. Each and every. To each and every is given the manifestation of the Spirit. The word manifestations means as if he was here physically. A manifestation means something that is not visible, that is made visible. So people, I want to see the Holy Spirit. Well, then minister. Let his power flow through you. Because that makes the Spirit visible. He's invisible to all people, so is in a sense is Jesus, until we make him visible, until we make his presence known. And so this is our responsibility to fulfill these things that God has given us to do. And so to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. Did you know that you can make the Holy Spirit visible to people? You can help people see God. Paul said another way, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said, I'm manifesting Christ. It comes after two chapters of him talking about ministering to people of every dimension, every race, every nationality, every level of society, every level of need. He says, don't think of yourself as above all these ones. Serve one another as Christ has served you. Follow me as I follow Christ. So this is what we are to be. We're to make him visible. We're also to make the Spirit visible. To help people see the Holy Spirit in his work. What did the Holy Spirit do through Jesus? Healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Right? He healed, he delivered, he helped people, he encouraged people. He delivered people from their oppressions. That's what he did. That's what his body did when he was here. What's his body doing today? See, we are also to be a benefactor because that's what he was. I'm now his body. That's what I should be doing. Go to your next panel. Going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. So it, just as you got many, he's just making a natural image here, that you got many members in your body and they're all part of your body, but they all do different things. So we are in Christ. So we're just one body, but we're all different. I could say peculiar. And some people are really peculiar. But anyway, we use that word for a different way. To us, peculiar almost carries a connotation of negative, but it's not. It means a special purchase. We are all God's special purchase. And he brought you in, no matter who you are, what your background is, what you have as your nationality, your family, your raising, your education. He didn't care. So we shouldn't care. We are all peculiar. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're peculiar. And the word does not mean weird, all right? Some of you are afraid to do that because you're afraid you're going to get slapped. But we're all peculiar because we're all members of one body. Verse 13, for in one spirit, literally the Greek word is by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. When you received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit took you by the hair of your head and baptized you into Christ. All right, that's not necessarily true, but that's the image. What do? When we baptize people? We just did that a few weeks ago. We bury them in the water, and then we raise them up. Well, you've been baptized into Christ. I know I was baptized into his death and resurrection when I got saved, but now I've been by the Spirit baptized into his body. I've become a part of his body. And he didn't ask you, what am I going to say? He didn't ask you what part of the body you wanted to be. I don't want to be this. Kind of a whining tone there, but I don't like where I am. You didn't make that choice. He did. Because, I know this might come as a shock, he knows a little bit more than you do. He does. And I'm sorry if that insults anyone in here. He knows more than you. He knows what's in your future, and you've got no idea. Amen. When I received Jesus Christ, I had no idea that some 50 years later, what's that, 52, 50?
I don't know,
Jeff. 54 years later? 53. Some 53 years later, that I'd be standing up here and preaching. That I would have gone to China and ministered. That I had been a teacher for many people, that I had been a servant to him, that I had supported pastors, helped to support their ministry and build up their... I had no idea I'd be doing that. And if God told me that's what I'd be doing, I'd have said, find someone else. When I was growing up, I was afraid to speak. I had to give a speech toward the end of the school year. I shook like... I'm sure people could see my head shaking from the back of the room. I was absolutely petrified. I still am if I stand in front of children, but I've got two children back here. And they love me. They love to hear from me. So maybe I'm getting bolder. Anyway, he puts you where he wants you to be because he knows how he's going to use you down the line. And so there's going to be a purpose for what he gave you. We are baptized into one body, Jew, Greek, slaves, free, and all are made to drink of the same Spirit. So it's the same Spirit that's working through all of us. Skip on down from verse 13 all the way to the almost the end of that chapter. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you, I should have capitalized that, you are the body of Christ. No, his body's in heaven. No, it's not. His body's here on earth.
Amen.
We are his body. We are his church. And individually, you're members of it. So you're all part of one, but you're all individual. You're all peculiar. All right. Individual ones he purchased because he wanted you. Don't ever look at someone else and think, you know, why would God want them? Well, let me ask you. Why would God want you? So everyone is peculiar. Don't look down on other people. Because Jesus gave his blood to buy them. I should look at it that way. I'm asked to go and minister to this people or minister to that or whatever, this class or this nation or whatever. It's because Jesus bought them with his blood. And that's the way I need to look at people. I don't like to hear ministers just degrade and, you know, speak down about their congregation. These are God's people. He purchased these people with his blood. They're not a pain in your side. Sometimes what they say can be a pain in your side. Let's skip on. I love this passage, and I'm going to spend the rest of my 10, 15 minutes. Galatians chapter 3. Now, this is in a context of three different questions that Paul asked. They're rhetorical questions. They're supposed to say the answer that Paul wants them to say. All right, that's rhetorical. I'm not asking you for your opinion. I'm asking you to agree with what I just said. Now, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do so by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, they were supposed to know what to say. It wasn't, you know, let's take a poll. We're going to take a poll. How many think it's by the law? How many people think it's by faith? No, it's not giving you an opportunity to oppose him. The answer is already implied. Does he do it by the works of the law? Well, then why didn't it happen in the Old Testament? It doesn't happen by people obeying the law because the law can't change you. But by works of faith. What are the works of faith? You believed in Jesus Christ and he brought you to salvation. The works of faith are the things that God did so that you could believe. And like I said before, faith is the backside of grace. Faith is our side, grace is God's. So we could apply in there or by the giving of God's grace. That's Paul's point in this whole passage. It's not by law. It's by grace through faith, which he's going to get to later on. It's by grace through faith. And so I want to look at a couple of these words. The first word is, does he, who's the he? Jesus. He who supplies the Spirit. Does he, that is Christ, who supplies the Spirit? The word supply. Skip on down to my outline there. Supplies. It's the Greek word epikorego. And epikorego is a word which means to abundantly furnish. He who supplies the Spirit, to abundantly furnish all that is needed and more. So it's not just, I'll give you what you need. You need, you know, $25 to do this. Well, here's $25. No, you need $25, so I'm going to give you $1 million. Oh, yes. Oh yeah. Okay. Ted's in on that. Most of the rest of you are just like, yeah, who cares? But no, he's going to give you more than you need. It's not just the Greek word korego, which would be to supply, it's the word epi, way beyond what you could need. And he supplies way beyond what we need. The one who supplies the Spirit. to abundant furnishly all that is needed and more. The image here is the one behind the scenes who has made provision so that all can be accomplished. So that all can be accomplished. Now, in Greek culture, this was used for the person who furnished the choir. Now, choir was the way that they had citywide celebrations or social celebrations. And under the Greek, they had a choir who would sing or speak these parts. And they would do these. But somebody had to pay for these, we might call them actors, or the choir. And they would sometimes lead the people in dance. They would lead people in joy. You know, it's like the applause sign. You know, it goes on and everybody applauds. It says laugh, and so everybody laughs. You know, you can tell when you're watching a sitcom because, yeah, they laugh at the appropriate times. And I'm thinking, why did they laugh at that? Because the sign went on. But this is someone who supplies, in a sense, the choir, makes provision so that the choir can be there, so that the people can be blessed. And so that's the image. And Paul borrows this word from the Greeks and brings it in two times in his writing, three times, sorry. And then Peter also uses it. And so the idea behind this is the one who supplies. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Same Greek word. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply. So there we got the word supply twice in this passage. The one who supplies. What's the Greek word supply means? Abundantly more than you can use. All right? More than what is necessary. Who supplies seed to the sower. God brings seed into our life so that we can do what? Pastor Bob did a whole series teaching on this. He gives seed to the sower. He doesn't give seed to the eater. He gives seed to the sower. Again, Pop Sprague. God will get it to you if he can get it through you. And so he will bring the seed. God gives seed to farmers who are going to plant it. Not just who are going to grind it up and make flour, because once they've done that, that's all they got. You got a number of loaves of bread, but after that, you got nothing. So there's nothing wrong with the farmer taking some of his seed and grinding it up into flour or trading it in the market for other things. There's nothing wrong with that, but you better keep some of the seed for sowing. Because if you don't sow, you're not going to have a crop next year. And so he gives seed to those who are sowing, abundantly supplies, and also bread for food. So within this seed that he gives, there's some to plant, there's some to eat. That's all right. He will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Now, we're big on him multiplying our bread for eating. More this, more that, more this, more that. But he's intending us to use the seed to sow. He will provide and increase your seed for sowing. He will supply and multiply. So again, he's abundantly giving this so that we can use it for his purpose. Not just for our joy. He does give bread for food. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong. But he gives that, but he also supplies the seed to sow. And if we want to have bread for the future, we need to sow some of the seed now. And so this is God's provision. And again, this is that Greek word, abundantly. And who's doing this? It is Christ who's doing this. He's the one who is making this available to us. The Father gives to the Son, and the Son gives to us. Sometimes he gives it through the Spirit. Sometimes he just gives it directly to us. But it is the Son who is the access to all that we have from heaven. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. And it says, and those who are not holding fast to the head. Who's the head? Jesus. Christ. He's the head. We are the body. You're not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together. The Greek word nourish is that same word supplied. The whole body supplied, abundantly supplied. God abundantly supplies the body so that it can do what he wants it to do. And it grows together through the joints and the ligaments. It grows with a grace that is from God. Again, coming through Christ, because he's the access that the Father has given. Whatever you need, ask the Father, what? In my name. So we ask the Father, but it's in his name. And so it is that it comes to us because we are in Christ. And in Christ, we are his body. And it is, as his body, these things flow through us. And so he is wanting us to be nourished together. Now, the context of Colossians chapter 2 is stop looking at other philosophies. Stop looking at other ways. Stop looking at these super spiritual things that the Gnostics are giving you. Stop reading social media. Stop reading all the things that are on the side when you're, it's like, oh, I'm going to click on this. You know, so stop looking at all those things and look to Christ, because he's the one who is supplying and nourishing so that the body can grow. But if you're distracted and looking at all of that, you're not going to grow in him. And so we need his ability. So not only, going back up to Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, not only does he supply the Spirit, overabundantly supply the Spirit, but he also works miracles among you. There's a lot of people that say, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, there's outpourings of the Spirit in Jerusalem, and then when they went to Samaria and in Ephesians, you know, and so that's where it was. Maybe, you know, where was Peter? In Cornelius' house. Where was that? Caesarea? Yeah, Caesarea. So anyway, and there was outpourings there, but after that it stopped. No, Paul says to these Galatians, who are actually kind of in the flesh, he still said to them, who's supplying this overabundance of the Spirit, and who is it that's working miracles in your midst? Paul's not there to work miracles. The miracles are working how? Through the rest of the body. Who is he that's doing this through you? And is it by the law or is it by faith? It's by faith, because before you received by faith, there was no working of miracles. There was no supply. There was no abundance. And so he's the one that is doing this. Does he do it by your abilities or his? The head is the one who is giving out to us. The head is who? Christ. And we are his body. And he's causing us to grow. And with growth comes growth pains. You know, it's used that you have to change. You know, my body used to be able to do these things, and now it can do these things. Getting stronger as I get older. That's my confession. So not only is he supplying, but notice what the last part of this, and works miracles in your midst. The Greek word works is the Greek word energon, from which gets the word energy. All right, energy comes with this. It means to perform or produce through activity. Energy. It's the idea behind the machinery, the thing that is producing. And so this energy or this power that is comes through working. And so who is working these miracles in our midst? The same one that is giving the Spirit is also giving this working of miracles. And so we call them gifts of the Spirit, but actually the source behind them is who? Christ. Because he is the head of the body, and they all flow through him. And so he is the one through whom all of these gifts flow. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, his poem, his artistic work, created in Christ Jesus, for what? For good works. That word works is ergos. Workings. Performance. Doing things. We're created in Christ Jesus to do stuff. Can I just say it that way? to do stuff. He gives us the ability to do things that glorify Him, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I don't know everything that God has for me in my future. I have no idea what is ahead of me over the next years of my life. But God does. And He's already made some provision for that. In each one of our lives, He's made provision for your future. So that when you get there, you can work as He has called you and placed you there to work. Some of the things God wants you to do, you can't do because you're not in the right place yet. The people who need what you have might not even be born yet. Many of you were not born when I got into the ministry. Well, I can say that to a lot of my staff. Most of them were not born when I got into the ministry. But there they are now. Much of our congregation. But God knew you were ahead of me. He knew you were in my future. And so He gave me some things so that I can do what I'm doing today. So that I can release the giftings that God has given in me so that you can be blessed. These teachings are not just for me. I don't sit home and teach myself. It's even awkward for me to, talk about my message out loud. I don't rehearse my messages. I feel weird doing that, but a lot of people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it won't work for me. It does not work for me. But I'm created to do things that someday I'm going to walk in. So, end of our message here. We are benefactors. He was when He was in the earth. Now I'm His body, so I am. I am a representation of His person, and I am a dispenser of His gifts, His power. So these are the things that He is giving me to do. Why? Because I am His body. So Father, I just thank You that You help us to understand and perceive so many of the ways that You desire to use us. That we have all been gifted according to Your purpose and Your plan to minister to the people who are in our future, to minister to the people that are around us today, to release the giftings, the manifestations, to make the Spirit known to other people, to provide for, abundantly provide the needs of others. More than what they need. You have given us so that we might pass that on to others. All so that You might be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.